Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 19, Text 7, Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Om namo bhagavate mahapurushaya mahanubhavaya mahavibhuti pataye saha mahavibhuti bhir dalim upaharamiti anenaha ahamantrena vishnur avahanargha padyopasparshana snana vasa upavita vibhushana gandha pushpa dhupa deepopaharadyupacharan susamahitopaharit. Translation. My Lord Vishnu, full in six opulences, you are the best of all enjoyers and the most powerful. O husband of Mother Lakshmi, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are accompanied by many associates such as Vishvaksena. I offer all the paraphernalia for worshipping you. One should chant this mantra every day with great attention while worshipping Lord Vishnu with all paraphernalia, such as water for washing his feet, hands and mouth, and water for his bath. One must offer him various presentations for his worship, such as garments, a sacred thread, ornaments, scents, flowers, incense, and lamps. Purport. This mantra is very important. Anyone engaged in deity worship should chant this mantra as quoted above, beginning with Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya. Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Revam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Could I borrow a watch, please? When there's more light, I can see clearly, but now I can't see it. Maybe if I... Thank you. Hare Krishna. Oh, now I can see.
Thank you.
So... There are nine principal processes of devotional service, namely, we know you know, because you're a Gosai, but the others, any of the others, can say the verse? He said the first word, Shravanam. Anyone else? Kirtanam. Vishnu Smaranam. Pada Sevanam, Archanam, I just said that, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So these are the nine processes of devotional service. You should all know this verse. It should come deep like that. You should know it so well. It's so important. Here Prabhupada is saying that this mantra is very important. Anyone engaged in deity worship should chant this mantra. So there are many important verses in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And those who are members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, practicing members, especially those who are living in the ashram, are supposed to be serious practitioners and preachers, should know these verses. Otherwise, how will you preach? So there's a very important verse which states that among the 9 important processes of devotional service, namely Shravanam, hearing, Kirtanam — hearing means hearing about Krishna — Kirtanam, chanting his glories, Vishnu Smaranam, which means remembering him, Padasevanam, worshipping his lotus feet, Archanam, deity worship, Vandanam, offering prayers, Dasyam, identifying oneself as his servant, and then in the higher stages, Sakyam, identifying oneself as his friend, and Atmanivedanam, complete surrender. So, among these processes, Archanam, deity worship, is one. And although in this age, Harenama Iva Kegalam Kalo Nastiva 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 Gatira Nika, in this age of Kali, there is no other way to achieve the Gati, or supreme destination, than to chant the names of Hari. Chant the names of Hari. Chant the names of Hari. But nevertheless, this process of deity worship is also essential, Jiva Goswami has pointed out, for almost all devotees, because it helps to regulate the devotee, purify him from impure habits. Regulate means regulate so that the consciousness can be focused on Krishna. It's Krishna consciousness, which means one should always be aware of Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Krishna says, always think of me and become my devotee. In the purport to this verse, as it appears in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which appears also almost the same in the 9th chapter, but Prabhupada writes that one should mold one's life in such a way that one cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day. So this Archan process is very helpful for remembering Krishna 24 hours a day. One who is engaged in Archan, deity worship. There is a full schedule, beginning from early morning till late at night, for worshipping the Lord. And those who are full-time engaged in this Archan process, then their whole day revolves around serving Krishna. Beginning from waking him up — that means one has to wake oneself up first. So, there you go, your life is being regulated. Because one may think, well, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, alright, I'll sleep now and later on I'll chant Hare Krishna. But if we have to serve the deity, then he has to be served on time. He has to be woken up timely. So that will help to regulate our lives in service to Krishna. That it must be done at a specific time. The Lord has to be woken up at a specific time and in a specific way, with specific procedures and mantras. So beginning from early in the day, the archak means one who is worshipping the deity. It's actually a more complete term than pujari, because archak, this term is usually used in South India. It means one who is engaged in archana, whereas pujari means engaged in puja, which puja is only part of archana. Because archana, puja means the specific process of puja, which is going on now, presumably may be finished. The process of worship, but the archana includes, it's almost simultaneous, but archana means also organizing festivals and collecting ingredients for worshipping the Lord, and arranging for funds for that. So archan is a more comprehensive term. So the archak or pujari is fully engaged in serving the Lord throughout the day. And even though, there is usually in our ISKCON temples that puja is done once a day. I believe in Los Angeles they do puja twice a day, is it? I don't know. Dressing is done, is it? Morning and evening. And in Los Angeles at midday also, something like that, is it? No? I've not been there. I'm just going there today for the first time. So actually puja, it's generally done in the morning, but it can be done 2-3 times a day also. But at least the puja is done in the morning, and then several aartis throughout the day. And actually it's nice that there's always someone with the deity. There's some pujari is always there with the Lord. Not that we just lock the gates and go away, because he likes to be with his devotees. He's, after all, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. And he likes that his devotees are there. So it's nice that if throughout the day some arrangement can be made for, in the traditional temples, of course, where many visitors are coming throughout the day, then the pujari will stay there throughout the day and he will receive the offerings. People will bring fruits and rice, coconuts and flowers, and then he will offer them, and then just offer just like that, and then give something back to, or give charanamrita. And so he should be there all the time tending to the deity. If there's in this temple, but that was the tradition where I joined in England, that for Radha Gokulananda and Radha Landanisha, that always incense should be burning all throughout the day, not just at the aarti time, but all the time. So when the aarti is finished, then after some time, maybe 15-20 minutes, again the pujari will go in and light some incense, then again. So always should be burning for the pleasure of the Lord, which is quite different to what you see in Eastern Europe. Anyone from Eastern Europe here? This is an unusual temple. No one from Eastern Europe. So, where they have the habit of lighting, and then after it's offered, they stick it in the container upside down so that it goes out. I can't understand why, but it's supposed to be burned for the pleasure of the Lord, because he likes this. So there should always be someone there and singing. So someone if. Some devotees, of course, there may not be so many devotees. We have, apart from this kirtan for the pleasure of the deity, that it's also kirtan for the pleasure of the deity to go outside the temple and preach the glories of the Lord to attract people to come for his blessed darshan. So, but that's nice if devotees sometimes can come in the temple and sing for the pleasure of the Lord. And in many temples, there's an arrangement where that goes on permanently. Prabhupada particularly wanted that, or said that should be going on in Vrindavan and Mayapur. But even in other temples, maybe also that throughout the day and night, kirtan goes on. Of course, like I say, we may not have so many devotees in the temple for this, but as much as possible, if it can be done, and time to time devotees can come in when they have some spare time and sing for the pleasure of the Lord. He likes that. He's a person, he has his personal likes, just like we may like when we're driving in our car to put on some bhajan cassette, or others who are not devotees, they may like to put on some ghastly music, some screeching rock music or something like this. So Krishna, he also likes music. And that's actually one of the items for service of the Lord, where that there'll be a nice concert performed for his pleasure. That we'll find in Nathdwara, they have musicians just playing instrumental music for his pleasure. At Sri Rangam, they have like this, that traditional families there. Their only job. Previously the temples were very opulent, so they used to maintain thousands of people, especially in South India, like the Sri Rangam, big temple. They'd have thousands of people who would, their only business, not really business, but occupation, was service of the Lord. Someone would be looking after the elephants, the Lord's elephants, Yes, because that's also auspicious paraphernalia for the Lord. Still at Sri Rangam, when they wake up the deity, they bring one elephant. And that Guru Vaya temple is famous. They keep so many elephants. One of them is very famous, Keshav Das, famous elephant, because he was completely dedicated to the service of the Lord. And he wouldn't allow when the Lord came outside the temple, he wouldn't allow any other elephants. Only he will carry. He was very particular. He must carry. I want to do this service. You get out of the way. So they made a statue of him after he passed away, because he was clearly a great devotee. So someone will be looking after the elephants. Some will be engaged directly in the puja. Some will be offering arati. And then others will be giving out charanamrit. Others will be engaged in cooking. And then there are those who they carry the Lord on the festival days, like in Sri Rangam. They have festivals more than 200 days a year. It means almost every day is a festival. So they have to carry the Lord heavy on his vahanam, palanquin. No, it's not a palanquin. It's a, what's it? What do you call that? It's something you carry the Lord on. It's not really, because it's open. Anyway, something like that, palanquin. So, and then cleaning and sweeping, and so they have a huge staff, thousands of people, simply for the worship of the Lord. And all are maintained by the grace of the Lord. Ananyas chintayantamang ye janah pariyapasati tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. They didn't think, where is my money coming from? Simply they had faith in the words of Krishna, that those who are fully dedicated to thinking about me and serving me, I maintain them. So many persons were maintained, but then the government thought, we should instead look after the deity worship. And then everything went down. Traditionally, the public temples are very opulent. They should be very, the householders, those who are earning, they should contribute 50%. Prabhupada said, contribute 50%. And they may think, well, that's too much. But actually, that's a concession, because the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they're contributing 100% of their time. So grihasthas, they only have to contribute 50%. And in this way, the deity worship becomes very opulent. The Lord should be worshipped with great opulence. He is Vaikunthanath. He is not, as the rascals say, Daridra Narayana. The rascals, they want to make Narayana a poor man. But he is Vaikunthanath, or as it is stated here, Mahavibhutipataye. Mahavibhutipati. Vibhuti, Mahavibhuti, means Lakshmi Devi. She was full of all opulences. That's the very meaning of Lakshmi. And he is the husband of the goddess of fortune. So there's no question of him being poverty stricken. And actually, those who worship the Lord in opulence, they will also become opulent by the blessings of Lakshmi. Those who strive to serve Narayana opulently, then Lakshmi Devi will supply them so much funds for his service. Even today, there are many businesses in South India, especially in Andhra Pradesh, where they make the business partner Tirupati Balaji. That means he doesn't have any work to do, but he gets so much of the profit. Whatever profit is there, he gets. They give 10%, 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever. And they're doing as a business strategy, because they know if you give to the Lord, he gives to you. One devotee in Russia wrote a paper how he started a business, and from the beginning he made the vow that 50% of the profit is going for Krishna consciousness. And immediately his business, from the very beginning it went great, and he gave 50%. His father, who was completely a non-devotee, saw that, and he started giving 50% of his income too, because he thought it's a good business venture. And then his father's business improved so much that he started giving more than 50%. He thought, wow, this is very good. The more you give, the more you get. So that's actually a fact. This, that akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That even if we have so many materialistic desires to fulfill, or if we desire liberation, or if we desire only to please Krishna, we should worship Krishna tivrena bhakti yogena. But not tivra means very strongly, very focusedly, like these, like the magnifying glass that focuses the light of the sun and makes it very powerful, increases it. So in the same way, one should perform bhakti yoga not in a lackadaisical manner, but with great determination and desire to serve the Lord. This deity worship, Prabhupada pointed out that deity worship and preaching, which are the, these are the two main functions of the Krishna consciousness movement. One is the, according to Pancharatriki Vidhi, worship of the Lord, and the other is Bhagavati Vidhi, or preaching Krishna consciousness. So these two together, Prabhupada said, they're like two tracks on the rail which take us on the train going back to Godhead. So Bhagavati Vidhi, actually we may say Bhagavata Marg, because in the Bhagavata Marg there's not so much vidhi, there's not so much rules and regulations, just yena tena prakarena mana krishna nishevayat sarva vidhi nishedasya etaya eva kinkaraha. All the rules and regulations are meant for bringing people to Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other the mind should be fixed on Krishna. But in the process of deity worship, there are so many rules and regulations to be followed. So this helps to regulate our lives. There's no question, if one is to do deity worship, it cannot actually be done in a whimsical or lackadaisical manner, because Krishna, he's Vaikunthanath, he is Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. He is served by hundreds and thousands, lakhs and crores of Lakshmis who are very particular in their service. So if we are to serve Krishna, we have to do so properly, in a manner that is suitable for a king. In this material world, if you don't serve a king properly, then off with his head. That is the prescription. Any mistake, they can do. There is a story, in the 19th century, the Shah of Iran came to visit London, the capital of the British Empire. So they showed him around the sights of London, and they showed him the Tower of London, and they showed, this is the place where Charles the something was guillotined. He was, when Oliver Cromwell decided, you don't know this because you have American history, but we have English, it's British history. So for some time the parampara of kings and queens was broken in England when Oliver Cromwell took, this was in the, what's the date? Don't know my history so well. 16th century or 17th century, something like that. So anyway, to cut a long story short, I don't give a history class here, they guillotined him. Well, that must have been after the time of the French then, because that was invented by Monsieur Guillotin. The name came from his good invention. Very efficient in killing people. A little messy, but does the job. So, anyway, they guillotined him there. And apparently the Sharvirana had never heard of this method of execution before. So he said, oh, that's interesting. Show me. Show me how it's done. He said, well, you know, we can't do that. It's again, you can't just kill someone. It's against the law. But, oh, I want to see. It sounds interesting. Why don't you show someone? He said, no, no, we can't do that. It's against the law. You see, you just can't kill someone for no reason. And he said, well, if you don't want to give one of your men, I'll give one of my men. I'd like to see. And he said, no, no, you can't do even with your own men. He said, oh, then you don't know what a king is. A king means everything should be done according to, as he likes, whatever he likes. You should be prepared to fulfill. You don't know what it is to have a king. You have the British Empire and the king or the emperor, but you don't know what actually is a king. King, only whatever he likes. The kill someone, whatever. Maro bi rako bi jawicha tuha nitta dasa prati tu adhika. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that you can kill me or protect me as you like. I am your servant. It's up to you. You have the right. So this is, with this consideration, we should serve Krishna. Of course, we don't expect that Krishna will treat us badly or kill us, because we're his servants and he's our loving master. But with that consciousness that he's the Supreme Lord, actually he does kill everyone, by not directly but through the agency of the material nature, then all birth and death and everything in between goes on under his jurisdiction. So how carefully we should serve him. There should be consideration of offenses. There are so many offenses to be considered in deity worship. And we have to be very careful when we're serving the Lord. When we're chanting the holy names, there are 10 offenses to be considered. But in the actual chanting, we may be a little careless. That's not good. But if we're careless in deity worship, it can be a disaster. If we don't, for instance, when we're putting the pins for dressing, or if we're not careful, we'll pierce the body of the Lord. That's very bad. One of my godbrothers was telling me how he sometimes was doing that. He was not so careful, and the Lord chastised him. Why are you doing like this? Why are you hurting me? That's Shubhag Maharaj. You know him? He's in my... That time he was in London. So long ago when he was in London, he told me like this. So we have to be very careful in deity worship. How to feed him properly. What he likes to eat. This we should consider very carefully living in America, because after all, the Lord's diet is what we might call Indian. It's not actually Indian diet, means it's Krishnian, because the Indian culture follows the culture of the spiritual world, Krishna's culture. So Krishna likes to eat shukta shakadi bhaji nalita kushmanda dali dalna dugda tumbi dati mocha kanda mudgabara mashabara roti kagritana luchi chini shapuri, all these things. We don't see Mother Yashoda flipping a pizza onto Krishna's plate and these things. So we may like to eat these things, but we have to think what Krishna likes to eat. And he's standing there, Gaurinathai is standing there, and you give them that, and they might just turn around and wander off if you don't get them. That could happen. That happened in Mayapur. You know that? Jagannath, now he's got a good appetite. He likes to eat, really, a lot. So in Puri, that's like a full-time job, going on practically 24 hours a day cooking for Jagannath, and he never gets indigestion. See, that's God. So much he eats. He eats more than if you think. That's how he's transcendental, because if you see the size of his body, it's pretty big, but what they feed him, it's a lot more. So where does it all go? You see, that proves he's transcendental. So anyway, Jagannath, that Rajpura, that's just close to Mayapur. So those deities, they were being worshipped. And what happened, Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. In due course of time, the family that was worshipping, they gradually decreased the worship. There was a very high standard going on. And gradually they decreased from so many offerings a day to one offering a day to one offering a week. And then like this, it came down. So they weren't able, for whatever reason, they weren't able, or they weren't doing the worship very nicely. So then, this must have been 1977, I believe. I just happened to be there when the man from the family was, and came and proposed to Jayapataka Maharaj that why doesn't ISKCON take over the worship, because we're not able to do it properly. And they were also afraid, because if we don't worship with Jagannath properly, you know, Jagannath, there's a word they use in Bengal, Jagrata, for deities. That means he's awake, he's not sleeping. That some deities, they're like really alive and they really interact with the people. And if you don't worship them properly, then there's problems. Even the mostly Muslims living around there, and when they have a problem, they also come to Jagannath. And they know if there's any big problem, they know, oh, someone must have done something. If there's any big problem in the area, they know, oh, someone must have made some offense to Jagannath. So just out of practical experience, they know Jagannath is there and you have to watch out. Worship him and he'll be happy. If you don't worship him properly, he won't be happy. So they proposed that the worship be given over to ISKCON. So anyway, that was all arranged and it was accepted. And a pujari, Anakunandabi, you know him? He's very tall. So he was sent there from Mayapur to worship. It's only, 5 kilometers distance, something like that, from ISKCON, Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. It's in the fields at the edge of that Rajpura village. So there's... So anyway, he was sent to worship. But then Jayapataka Maharaj thought that they're in the committee, the committee that's presently managing the temple or not managing the temple, there were like 51 members and only 47 or so had signed. And if they don't all sign, then there may be legal problems. It's, they hadn't signed, all of them were not willing to sign it over. So if they don't all sign, then there could be problems, and legal problems, and this could go on for years in the courts. But on the other hand, if ISKCON starts to accept the worship, then they have to continue. Because that's the system. When you start to worship deities, you have to continue worshipping. You can't just say, well, today we worship and tomorrow forget it. You start worshipping, that's why sometimes they talk about uninstalled deities. This is an ISKCON concoction. There's no such thing as uninstalled deities. Means if you worship, then just by that worship, then it's accepted that the Lord is there. It's not that today He's God, and when we want to worship Him, He's God, and when He's not, He's a doll, and just forget Him. Or we don't have to worship properly because there's uninstalled deity, therefore it doesn't matter. No, you worship, you have to do properly anytime. So anyway, after Anakadundabhi Prabhu had been sent, then afterwards the message is supposed to be sent, oh, wait a minute, we forgot, don't offer, don't start yet, you have to wait for the word, because otherwise there may be some legal complications. But you know what it's like, the message didn't get to him and he started worshipping anyway. And it means he started cooking, offering bhog and all these things. And Jagannath was hungry, hadn't eaten for a long time. So, hadn't eaten good meal for a long time, so... Then anyway, Anakananda, we got the message, and he stopped worship. He started and he stopped. Then, in his dream at night, he saw Jagannath Subhadra Baladev leaving the temple and walking towards Mayapur. And he ran behind and said, where are you going? He said, we're going to see Radha Madha. We want to get something to eat. We're starving. So, be careful. If you don't worship the Lord properly, He might not like to stay. It's a very great responsibility. Prabhupada established these temples in the Western world, and it's a very great responsibility to maintain the standard. That all the standards should be kept up to whatever is there, we shouldn't go below. Prabhupada said, you should increase whatever I've given you, but at least maintain what I've given. So in deity worship, we have to at least maintain. But in many places, I'm seeing the standards are compromised. Just like they'll have non-Brahmins cooking, which is actually no one can imagine in India to this day, at least in the traditional temples, that non-Brahmanas will cook. It would be considered a disaster. It's just not thinkable. It has to be Brahman. So I may say, well, it's okay, they're chanting Hare Krishna, whatever, but no, it has to be initiated as Brahmanas, because I spoke about that a little bit yesterday, at the time of giving Brahminical initiation. One thing is, there are certain mantras to be chanted, which only Brahmanas are allowed to chant, certain mantras to be chanted in deity worship. And another consideration is, one who's Brahminically initiated, it means it's accepted that they've come to the level where they understand what are the levels of cleanliness. For a Brahmana especially, cleanliness is essential. Brahmana is called Shuchi, which means pure or clean. So someone who doesn't know these, actually there are many rules and regulations of cleanliness which devotees should, I think there may not be much training in all these things, but devotees, and especially those who are engaged in deity worship, they should know. Just like, you don't put your hand to your mouth. If you put, but for any reason, put your hand to your mouth only for eating or when you're brushing your teeth, that's all. But then the hand has to be washed. Or if you touch something, when you take water, you're drinking, if you touch the glass to your lips, then you have to rinse the mouth and hands. Otherwise, drink like this. These are all important rules. Otherwise, one becomes contaminated. And then one cannot properly worship the Lord in this unclean state. It becomes offensive, actually. So one should know all these rules and follow them. And these also help to purify our existence. Because if we are... Of course you may think, well, what difference does it make? You drink a glass of water, put it down, your hand's clean. But actually it's not. It's not clean. That there's uncleanliness is there. It means on the because one has the mouth is unclean, and because one has touched the container which is it's put to that, therefore the hand is considered unclean, and one becomes in an unclean state, one becomes more susceptible to subtle malevolent influences. That we find that people who don't follow these rules of cleanliness and all these, they become more susceptible to attacks from ghosts, and or their mind will be unsteady because the subtle influences can react on them. In the Mahabharata we have the story of Nala and Damayanti. So Nala, because he was he neglected to properly cleanse himself once after urine. Then the personality of Kali entered his body and completely messed up his life. We have here also in the story of Diti that Indra was serving her, but waiting for an opportunity to spoil her vow. She wanted to have a son who would be inimical to Indra, who would be the enemy of Indra. So Indra knew this and he came to serve her. As long as she followed the vow, then he couldn't do anything to her. But then one time when she was feeling weak and emaciated after fasting, she was fasting so much following the vow, then she lay down to sleep after eating without washing her hands, feet and mouth. Then Indra could enter and cut her embryo into 7 times 7 pieces. Otherwise he couldn't enter, because she was protected. no subtle or even gross bad influence could affect her because she was protected by following the rules of cleanliness. So brahmanas especially are supposed to know all these rules. We may think, well, it's just a detail, but all these details are very helpful in our progressive Krishna consciousness. Because people don't know these rules and regulations, they suffer in so many ways. The Vedic rules and regulations, they help us in so many ways. They help us to have a steady mind, help us to have good health, all these... just like nowadays, recently it became very popular, this Vastu Shastra. So it's not essential for devotional service, but it's a fact that if buildings are constructed in a certain way and certain rooms are used for certain purposes, and even within the kitchen, for instance, the stove has to be in a certain corner, and the utensils have to be kept in a certain place, and the water has to be stirred in a certain place. So this all helps in maintaining peaceful mind, and helps in counteracting subtle malevolent influences. So, of course, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not the International Society for Vastu Consciousness or Reiki Consciousness or any such thing. But all these Vedic usages, they're very helpful. It's just this part of, it all goes in the Vedic, part of the Vedic culture, and those who know these things, they follow them, and it helps. All these things are very helpful to lead a sane and regulated life. Of course, in the modern age, people don't lead sane or regulated lives, they live insane and whimsical lives. Therefore, Harayan Nama, Harayan Nama, Harayan Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiran Yata. If we ask that people have to follow all the different Vedic usages, then it's not possible, especially in the beginning. Even deity worship, when Prabhupada first introduced deity worship, he introduced the worship of Jagannath Subhadra Baladev in San Francisco. And the deity worship consisted of putting a Giwik on a plate, and then one would offer like this. No, one devotee means in jeans and long hair like this, just in the what's that word? The interim stage between hippie life and devotee life. So the one would offer like this, and then they'd pass it to someone else, and they'd offer like this, and that was the deity worship. That was the and then they asked, well, is there more to it than this? Yes, Prabhupada said, yes, but if I tell you, you'll faint. They couldn't imagine. So, better we introduce all these higher standards that will be satisfying to Krishna, that is given in Shastra. Harinam, that is the essential, that is the life of all the activities, even Archan. It's without chanting the holy names, Krishna will not be pleased with our deity worship. But also, if we can follow these procedures as much as possible, that will be pleasing to Krishna. But at least the minimum standard we should keep, nice offerings to Krishna of what he likes to eat. And if we like to eat something different, that's also allowed. But at least we should offer Krishna what he likes also. That should be there. And then having regular sankirtan for his pleasure. Yagyai sankirtana. What is that? Yajantihi sumedasa. The Lord is particularly worshipped in this Kali Yuga by chanting of the holy name. Sankirtan, of course, Srila Prabhupada gave a broader definition to the term sankirtan than singing together, but widely preaching the Lord's glories through distribution of his books. This is also deity worship. All the those who are distributing books, they should, if we're in any particular city, we should think, now we're doing this for the pleasure of Sri Sri Gaunitai, Sri Sri Radha Govinda Jagannath Subhadra Baladev. And before going out, go before them, go before Srila Prabhupada, ask for their blessings. At the end of the day, come back, shower, come before the Lord, and again, ask for His blessings and offer that what I have done, what I have attempted to do in your service, you please accept that. We can pray to the Lord that you are Jagannath. So in this part of the Jagat, in this part of the universe, may all these persons who are spoiling their eyes by not coming for your darshan, may the purpose of their eyes be fulfilled by coming towards you, coming here. Now there's a big controversy in Tirupati because they're breaking down the darshan mandap. It's actually very small. So many thousands of people come there every day. So they're breaking it to build a bigger darshan mandap, or the place where people can take darshan. So there's a some people are very unhappy about that. They're saying, because it's been like that for so many thousands of years, why should that be done? But as far as we are concerned, we'll be very happy if we have the same problem. That so many people are coming for darshan of Radha Govinda that there's not enough space. So what to do? Then build a bigger temple. Our movement should be like Matsya Avatar. We start off with a little temple, just like Mayapur. At Mayapur, there was such a big temple in the beginning, that first temple. We thought it was so big. And now already that's three times they enlarged the temple. And even now, it's not big enough. Even at Mangalati, any day of the year, it's crowded. It's a huge temple room. How many times bigger than this one? Maybe at least... No, much more than five times. It's maybe eight times, I would think so. Or more. Bigger than... And that's one temple room of Radha Madhava. And then there's Panchatattva temple room, which they just enlarged also. But it's even at Mangalati completely crowded. You know what? Because so many people, they come from all over Bengal. And even the people who... even those who are followers of Chaitanya Gauri Amat, or this Gauri Amat, or that Gauri Amat, most of them come from Mangalati to ISKCON. Because we want to go to ISKCON Mangalati. So... it's completely packed. You know, however big you make the temple room, it's never big enough. It's like Matsya Avatar. So you just catch him in the hands, put him in a pot, put him in a bigger pot, put him in a pond, put him in a lake, put him in the sea. So that's what it should be like. The Krishna conscious movement should always be expanded. The best service to Radha Govinda will be to bring thousands of people, a whole city. The mayor should come and bow down. When he takes the oath of office, he should come and bow down before Radha Govinda. Just like Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he was saying, I'm ruling here only on... I'm the Gajapati. He's the king of Orissa. But he's thinking, I'm only here, I'm only a servant of Jagannath. So in the same way, whenever any politician takes office, they should come and take blessing and permission from Radha Govinda. Everyone should. And in all the businesses, they should be giving 20%, 50% of their income to Radha Govinda. This is how we should think. Of course, it's not just by talking about it that it happens, but these should be our goals. Let the whole world come and bow down before the Lord. It's not that the Krishna conscious movement should be perceived as some minor religious sect in one corner of the city, but rather the activity should permeate to every corner of the city, and everyone should know that every citizen of Denver should know that here is the Lord of our city. We should come to serve Him. So this will be the best way to serve Him, and in this way worship Him very opulent. The best opulence of a temple is not, of course we want that, so much money should come for His service. But the real opulence is loving devotees, all engaged, so many devotees, all engaged in His service. So please, go on with all your services and bring more and more people. Let their eyes which are spoiled by watching TVs and movies and looking at this material world with a consciousness. I am the Lord of all that I survey. Let them come and see the beauty of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, Sri Sri Radha Govinda Jagannath Subhadra Baladev, and bow down their heads before Him. In this way, make their life successful. Hare Krishna. Is there any question in the remaining 4 minutes? Yeah.
They feel like, come here to take darshan, and there's so much quarreling within the temple, I feel disturbed. So,
is it really?
They do not come because of these kinds of reasons. So we have to make this Vaikuntha if we want to come here. I don't want to come here.
So don't bicker, don't quarrel, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Instead of meeting resolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, there should be kirtan, as Prabhupada said. Everyone, if we all think how to serve Krishna in the best possible way, then we can be united on that platform. United Nations of the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Govinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Here's your CDs you can give to the right members. I've already pitched for these books a few times, but if there's anyone here who's not been in my classes in the last couple of days, I have some books here that I've written, and I'm trying to distribute them. But I think you've all been here, isn't it? So you all know. Anyway, last pitch, so to speak. Oh, that was Rasikananda. That one's finished, I think. Well, take another one. Vangshidas Babaji, Message to Youth of India, Ramayana, all these books are there. You ever read Ramayana?
No, I haven't.
Why don't you take that one? There you go. Okay, got it. You want to give it with your right hand, according to...
Sure.
I think it's in there. Why don't you open it up?
Is everything set for your departure? Do you
I hope
have a
so.
Ride and
I think that Bhim Sen and Ratnavada are doing that.
Because we were going to go to the airport for distribution if you were needing
them. Well, if they don't turn up, I'll let you know. Yeah, there it is.
Okay.